الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. These salawat all together. For the sake of Ahlul Bayt, say another salawat all together. For the love of Imam Zainul Abidin, alayhi salatu wassalam, another salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود الذي فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووطد بالسخون ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على الرسول المسدد والنبي الأمجد والمصطفى الأحمد حبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا فوري في الانصاف إمام الزمان صلوات ولعنة الله على أعدائهم وظالميهم وغاصبي حقوقهم لعنة الدائمة من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون صلوات من الله سبحانه وتعالى accept our worships and especially this majlis as the best of the worships. And may Allah eventually leveling at our places and positions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah please Imam of the age, Hazrat Hujjat ibn al-Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salatu wassalam, with all of us. Since last 2 days, Alhamdulillah, all brothers and sisters were paying attention with the subject which I have started, and I can understand that 3 days are very short to speak about any subject, but I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah give us that tawfiq that we can have a conclusion of the subject. And I also would like to thank from all brothers and sisters from being in the majalis and paying the attention to the majalis, giving the time for the majalis. And this is a great opportunity that, as I said yesterday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us an open university, that through that we are always learning. And every year, alhamdulillah, we gain many knowledges, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the wisdom through Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. Dear brothers and sisters, as yesterday I said the meaning of tawassul, that it means to make access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep the source towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to find a way or a favor towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that meaning, we also discussed yesterday that what is the need to have access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why a human being should have this need. And we discussed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater, Allah is closer to every creature, and especially the human being. When we like to think about the tawassul, we think about ourselves and about our capacity. And the smaller entities and anything which has limited capacity, if it likes to be connected with high potential thing, at that time it needs to have a connection, it needs to have a wasila. And several examples are being given. We can give and or may think, and our youth, they can think many other examples in their life, and there are various examples which can be used as a daily basis. You can think about, for example, if you start thinking about the electricity and these small bulbs, when we use them for our light at the home, if you bring and take that bulb to the place where there is power station and put that over there, of course this bulb, it is going to be burned and it cannot work because it does not have that capacity. It needs to be connected with the plug, and then it has to be plugged through the wiring, and that is how it has to be connected with the power station. Otherwise, power station, it has lots of power, and its capacity is wider capacity, and a bulb has a limited capacity. It is bulb's need that it has to be connected through the plug. It's not the need of a power station. Power station is already with the power. It is full of the power. It has full capacity. It has everything. It has electricity. It can provide. So the provider does not have the limitation. But the limitation is from the side which is where we want to place this bulb. That is the situation of ourselves. as a human being, that when we look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is overwhelming. It's like power station. It is full of the capacity. Now if we like to be connected with that power, and if we go directly, we will be burned, because we do not have capacity. It is important that we have be plugged in. We have put ourselves with the plugs that can take us, and there has to be a wiring. Through that wiring, it has to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this wiring and electricity, it has to be continued electricity as well. Because if there is any short circuit, then we cannot have electricity. So that means in all the time, in all the ages, there has to be connection. Every time, this electricity has to be continued. That is how we can understand that Vilayat and Imamat has to be for all the ages, for all the times. And Imam Zaman Ajallahu Farajahu Sharif, is the continuation of that Vilayat, is the continuation of that Imamat, is the continuation of that Wasila that provide us. That is why about Imam, it's been said that Imam is connection between the human being today with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or all the sources come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the mercies and the favors come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that comes through Imam Zaman Ajallahu Farajahu Sharif. Whatever favor we receive, for example, if we have the guidance, that guidance come through somebody. If we receive other providence, these providence come through Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And even our ulama, they say that if we have these tears in our eyes sometimes, and our hearts get inspired, this inspiration also comes through Imam Zaman. That is Imam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He likes to favor to the people, His favor has to come through a connection, through a wiring. And we have been provided the wiring from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till Khatam alayhi salatu wasalam. And from Khatamul Anbiya till Khatamul Awsiya, Imam Zaman ajallahu farajahu sharif. So that is why it's been said, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. That is the reason that we have been asked, that you have to seek wasila towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have been asked, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then again, we can understand from this verse that the people, those who are believers and those who have taqwa and with the piety, it is their duty that they have to seek the access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also makes us understand that seeking the wasila, that means understanding the wasila. Seeking the wasila, that means finding those sources can be beneficial for us, that we can be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the link between the human being and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finding those links, it's our responsibility. Being clinged with those sources is our responsibility. While we do not understand the true sources and true accessories to our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe sometimes we find some wrong sources. And these sources are not only Ahlul Bayt, that starts from very bottom point of the society. We should have sources and resources available from our society. It starts from family. It starts from community. It starts from the country. Then it goes to the world or universe. For a universe, there is a source and wasila. For a house, there is a source and wasila. For a community, there is a source and wasila. And that is how this whole world and the universe has to be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Imam. But that is not only the link. There are several other links, that through those links we are linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, ulama, fuqaha, faqih, this vilayat which has been given to wali-faqih, that is one of the sources, that is one of the accessories That is one of the wasila to be linked with the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we have been told, innama waliyukum Allah. The real wilayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Rasuluhu. Then those people who give the charity while they are in the ruku. So that makes us understand that this wilayat is a link. It starts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you like to search and go and have access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to start from very bottom line. You cannot go directly. You have to be connected. As telephone lines are connected, one is for your houses, then your businesses, then your communities. So there are several types of the telephone lines. Same is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you should make this connection from home, then your community, then your country, then your universal, and then look at the connection which can be one of the final connections between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ. Please say salawat. Another verse which speaks about the same message and it is in the same tune, that is Ayat Wahdat. Do you know which one is Ayat Wahdat? How many people they know Ayat Wahdat? So, there are verses which have several names. For example, there is the Ayat which is called Ayat Wilayat. There is Ayat which is called Ayat Mawaddat. There is a verse which is called Ayat Tathir. So it is important for our brothers and sisters that they must be familiar with the titles of the verses. That through those titles of the verses we can understand the ayat as well. Because those chapters have their names. Ayat Wahdat, which speaks about Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wala tafarraku. It's called Ayat I'tisam and also Ayat Wahdat. وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. You should cling with حَبْلُ اللَّهِ. We have not been asked وَعْتَسِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. Are you paying attention? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never asked us وَعْتَسِمُوا بِاللَّهِ, that you should cling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have been asked وَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. You have to cling yourself with the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through that rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us find what is Hablullah. Where is Hablullah? There are several interpretations. Some other brothers, they have translated Hablullah is Quran. Some other people, they may translate that as Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam has said, Nahnu Hablullah. We are that rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anybody likes to be cling with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to come towards us. But when we look at that hadith, which is famous hadith of Prophet, that can make this conclusion and it can give that better result, that those people are saying Quran is Hablullah, they are also true. Those are saying that Ahlul Bayt are rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are also true. Because Prophet has said, Inni tarikun fikum uttaqalain. I'm leaving upon you two weighty things. Quran is also Hablullah. Ahlul Bayt are also Hablullah. Now, brothers and sisters, we can understand that this Hablullah is one of the important needs for the human being. It's not something that we have chosen to have the wasila. The wasila is a necessity for the human being to be clinged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how we can have wahdat. That is how we can have i'tisam. Otherwise, that unity, it's not possible. Unity, it becomes possible when we have these two entities in our community. That is how we can be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we start reciting the Quran from the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the wasila. Look at Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, it says, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide us to the right path. Or it's been translated another way, oh Allah, keep us on the right path. Right? So these can be two different meanings of اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Then, can you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interpreted that Sirat Mustaqim? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interpreted? How He said the meaning? Maybe He could say Sirat, which is Sirat of Quran, and a path which has certain definitions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could define this Sirat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could say, this is the meaning of Sirat. But brothers and sisters, when we read Surah Fatiha, we can find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never defined and introduced Sirat Mustaqim, but He defined with the people those who are on straight path by saying Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. That makes us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of introduction and the definition of the Sirat Mustaqim is through the Wasila. That He wants to make us understand that if you want to walk on the path which is Sirat Mustaqim, you have to go through the people, those who are already on Sirat Mustaqim. And let us look at who is Sirat Mustaqim. What does Sirat Mustaqim mean? Is there anywhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said those people who are on Sirat Mustaqim? Who are these people? Read Surah Mubarakah Yasin. Yasin. والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين. What is the next ayat? على صراط مستقيم. That, O Prophet, you are on straight path, or you are on صراط مستقيم. It's like if you think about the highway, right? Highway towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, highways are available. You know, when we go on the highway, there are various diversions. And on highway, there are signposts. On the signposts, there are names written. For example, whatever city you want to choose, you can go to that destination. To choose that destination, you must have those signposts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put on the Sirat Mustaqim, on the highway which goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is signpost. And that signpost is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ala sirat mustaqim. That if you like to choose sirat mustaqim, then you have to find the path of Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Yes, maybe when you like to go and on the roundabout, or when you come close to the junction, over there is a list being provided, right? On the top there is written the name of Prophet and his progeny, and there are some other several names also have been written. But you have to choose amongst them that which one is the true path, which one is the path which has been defined in Quran. Ala sirat mustaqim. So that makes us understand that even to walk on the path which is sirat mustaqim, we need to have wasila. Without wasila, we cannot walk on sirat mustaqim as well. No one can understand. Let us look at Quran. For example, if we like to understand the Quran, what we have to do? Where we have to go? To whom we have to ask? People say that, oh, these people, they are just calling Prophet, peace be upon him. Why they have to call? What is the need for the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam? We tell them that if you like to understand the Quran, where you have to take this Quran? Who is the link between Allah that He has been able to teach you this Quran? We have taken the Quran from Prophet, peace be upon him. He's the personality that we have taken the Quran. And the first narrator in this world to the people, that is the Holy Prophet. And some people, they said, we don't believe in Hadith, for example. Some people, today there are various groups Some of the groups, they say, we don't believe in hadith. We don't accept any hadith. So if you do not accept hadith, how you can accept Quran? Because hadith is the link between Quran and you. Who said the first narration? For example, first time if somebody has narrated that Quran has been revealed, that must be the Prophet, peace be upon him. So you must accept first hadith and then you can accept Quran. If you do not accept hadith, you cannot accept Quran. It depends on hadith. So let's go back to the tawassul. Brothers and sisters, let us look in the basic verses in Surah Mubarakah Baqarah. If you read salawat, I would like to read from Quran.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated the stories of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his nation in the beginning of Quran and in various verses. These two personalities have been given lots of verses. For example, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, these great personalities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being mentioned in various places. One of the places where the nation of Hazrat Musa came to the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, asking him that we would like to have a different type of the waters available, or different places where they can have the water. What is it called? Chashma. Spring. Sorry, I forgot. Spring. They want to have the spring water for themselves. Today we have the spring water, of course, available everywhere. But these people, they wanted to have for every group a different type of the spring water. This mineral water, of course, today the people, they like mineral water. At that time also, the people, they did like the mineral water. They wanted to take that water, which is the spring water. They came to Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This is very strange kind of the request, that we don't like to have only one spring water, but we would like to have different places for every group. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts speaking about that. وَإِذِسْ تَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. Now, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in trouble, of course. Then he has to ask every time from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, my nation asks that we would like to have different springs. And Allah is going to provide that. وَإِذِسْ تَسْقَى. The interesting point that when the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to Hazrat Musa asking him that, can you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah can provide us those springs? They never went directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, can you provide us those springs? But they came to Hazrat Musa, although they were not really believers. They were not really faithful people, but still they had this understanding that the only personality can have that access towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Hazrat Musa. He can provide us. So that is how they asked from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Musa, this tasqa, he started asking when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should remember and remind yourself when he asked for his nation those springs. فَقُلْ نَضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرِ. We asked him that you go and take your asa, take your stick, and throw that stick on one of the stones, and that will become as a spring. فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْ حُسْنَةَ أَشَرَةَ عَيْنَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that then, because there were 12 groups, and we provided them 12 different springs. We provided them 12 different places where they could have the water. But these people, they were really unfaithful people, and they were always demanding. You know, when demands of people, they are being increased, that is one of the dangerous points. And today, as we are living in materialistic life, we must understand, brothers and sisters, that sometimes the materialistic demands are going to be increased. This is one of the best ways for the materialistic powers that they can rule the people. If you just start thinking that how we have increased our needs. We can live with limited needs, and we can increase our needs as well. It depends on us. For example, if I want to live with two dresses in my life, I can live. There's no problem with that. And of course, we have examples for that, as Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. He says that I had only two dresses in my life, which I have used, and with two pieces of bread, I have lived in this world. I did not demand anything else. So that means when you like to put a limit on your needs, you can put that limit on your needs. You don't need to increase your needs. But sometimes if you start increasing, your house will be filled with those dresses. Then you have countless dresses at your home. And especially females, sometimes they have lots of wishes that they can have lots of dresses. So there is a need, there has to be a limit for that. But Western life has taught us that you can increase your needs. For example, buying sofa sets, buying lots of beds at home. And when you like to go to the warehouses, they have put all the things in kind of manner that you can choose whatever you like, and you can fill your trolleys and come back home, right? That is how they have increased our needs. That is how they have increased our wishes and desires that we cannot control. The nation of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was kind of nation that it was expecting a lot from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was demanding by time, every time they started demanding. Let's look at the second verse again. They demanded from Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds that, O Bani Israel, when you said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, لَنْ نَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ تَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. One food cannot be sufficient for us. This demand we have today also. Sometimes when we sit on the food table, at that time we say to our wives that you just made only one food. We don't have anything else to eat, right? You can't provide a better food than that, right? Or when we go, especially when we are guests, or if sometimes we have invitation, we invited one of the brothers, at that time we put several types of the food. We think that this is our duty. Yes, respect of the guest is one of the best manners of Islam, but it does not mean that we have to waste. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about the musrifeen. Innal musrifeena kanu ikhwana shayateen. About mubaddirin again, he said, innal mubaddirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. So israf, it makes us associate with shaitan. It makes us closer to the shaitan, because he's waster. He wasted whole his life. He has been given the opportunity that he can stay with the angels, but he wasted this opportunity. Those people who waste the opportunities, these are the people stand with the shaitan. So we waste a lot, especially in these countries, when we have been provided these blessings. We waste those blessings, and this wastage will become for the reason today. If we are going to have recession has the reason, because these countries have increased the needs of people. Now they have to fulfill their demands as well. How they can fulfill their demands? If their economy goes down and demands are going to remain higher, then this will be the time of recession, of course. Now is the time, brothers and sisters, to start thinking that we don't be included in the nation of Musa or in the nation of Pharaoh at that time. اذ قلتم یا موسیٰ لن نصبر علی طعام واحد. وی کین ناٹ بی پیشنٹ آن جسٹ ون فوڈ. فدع لنا ربک. نو اگین دیر از اے توسل. کین یو گو اینڈ ڈو دعا بفور اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی؟ واٹ یو ہیو ٹو آسک اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی؟ یخرج لنا مما تنبت الارض. وٹ ایور اٹ گروز فرام دا ارتھ وی وڈ لائک ٹو ہیو. وی وڈ لائک ٹو ایٹ ایوری تھنگ. سو دیز ویرائٹی آف دا فوڈس یو کین سی ٹوڈے دا نیشن ان دا ویسٹرن کنٹریز از سیم ایز دا نیشن آف دا ٹائم آف موسیٰ علیہ السلام. As they were demanding that we would like to have everything but it grows everywhere. For example, sometime according to the weather and the season, some of the fruits of course should not be available. But what they try to pick up from everywhere and make it available in this country. Then the people's demands can be fulfilled and they can fulfill their desires. If their desires are fulfilled, at that time they are not going to speak. So this is plan. They just want to make us silent. They just want to make us satisfied that when we eat a lot, when we use everything, when our needs are fulfilled, at that time people, they are not going to speak. And that's what is happening, you know. Here millions of people are living and whole Gaza was in danger. The children were crying. The cries of the children was very obvious on the television, but no one was speaking. Everybody is silent. Why these people are silent? Because they know that their needs are fulfilled. Government is providing them everything. They are just demanding them that فَدْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ. Whatever it's going to be raised on the earth, you have provided us. If you continue providing us, then we are satisfied. So look at the satisfaction of the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That was only because of the worldly benefits, these eating and drinking. They wanted to make themselves busy. And look at the personality of Hazrat Musa, that how he was surrounded by these people. A tragedy for a preacher, tragedy for a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living in these type of the ignorant people, those who are always asking him that bring springs for us, bring water for us, bring drinks for us, bring something else. That is what their demands are. They never ask Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, can you go and do dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our position before Imam Zaman. Let us start thinking that if the nation of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asking from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs. If we are also asking from Imam Zaman to fulfill our needs, then we are also standing on the same page. There is no difference. How many times are we asking from Imam Zaman to come back? How many times we demanded Imam alayhi salatu wasalam? For example, let me give you a simple example. In our life, we do nadr. Yes? Everybody does nadr. We have nadr in our life. I do nadr that my paperwork may be completed. I do nadr that I would like to live in America. Yes? I do also nadr sometime that my other wishes be completed. I would like to have son. I would like to have daughter. Do we make any nadr in our life for Imam Zaman? Did you ever thought about that? That I make a nazar that if in my life there is a reappearance of Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, I would like to have 3 days fasting. Only 3 days. Did we ever thought about that? No. Because we never thought this is our need. We are only thinking there are some other needs. We never thought about Imam Zaman, that he is our need as well. The people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam were thinking only that our needs are worldly needs. They never thought that we have a great personality available who can teach us, who can give us inspiration, who can make us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were just demanding some of the things. And same is the position of the people today. The history goes and changes. The time maybe changes, but the people, they remain the same. Only the bodies are going to be changed. Character remains the same. In all the ages, characters are same. He says salawat. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given various examples of the different foods, what we eat today. So you can maybe name different type of foods, but these people are also demanding the same types of food what we have on the food tables today. And you can name, for example, plow over there, and they were asking adasiha, basaliha, wafumiha. These are the most important things what the nation of Musa alayhi salam was demanding at that time. So brothers and sisters, the point what I wanted to make, that whenever they came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, they said, they have used a term, fad'u lana rabbak. You have to ask and do dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we do not have that capacity that our dua can be accepted. But your dua can be accepted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We expect that whenever you are going to ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept your dua. And the same is our position, that we have to ask whenever we like to call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to go before Imam of the age. As when you look at Surah Mubarakah, Munafiqun. Yes, name is Munafiqun, but Surah is Mubarakah, of course. Don't think that when, for example, if we say Surah Mubarakah, Munafiqun, we cannot say that Munafiqun are Mubarak, but Surah is Mubarakah, because it contains the greatest message. In that Surah Munafiqun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whenever these people are being asked, you go to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and ask him for istighfar. They just turn their faces from Prophet, peace be upon him. What is the need that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they have to go to the Prophet to seek forgiveness? If istighfar is my duty, of course I can ask istighfar. I can say astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilayh. But why the people, they have to go to the Prophet, peace be upon him, asking him that you seek istighfar? That means my seeking istighfar is different than when Prophet starts seeking istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is closest personality with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever somebody feels that his capacity is limited, at that time he has to feel the need of tawassul as well. Another example in the life of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I think it's too hot over here. Don't you feel that? Say another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I know outside is cold, but inside it's too hot. Or maybe I'm only feeling. Please say another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Another example in the life of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that is in Surah Mubarakah Kahf. Surah Kahf speaks about the incident that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam once was delivering the speech. And he was speaking with the people, and suddenly somebody asked from Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that who is more knowledgeable on this earth. And of course at that time Hazrat Musa was feeling that he is only person that has knowledge. And that is dangerous point, you know, whenever somebody feels that he has more knowledge. That is the point he starts falling down. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam just thought that, of course, me, who else can have more knowledge? And he was told, no, you're wrong. You're not more knowledgeable person. There are some other people, those who have better knowledge than you. Go and find them. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was wondering, and then he came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supplicating, Ya Allah, I was thinking, I'm only the person, you made me a great prophet on the earth, and Ulul Azm prophet. How come that you have selected somebody else as well, and he's sitting in this world, and I do not know about him. Can you give me address? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, we'll give you address. Go and search for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided some sort of signs. He said that take fish from somewhere, and then you'll reach up to that point. At that time, if the fish it leaves you, that will be the point that you can meet one of my servants. And that servant, of course, he is more knowledgeable than you. That means a'lam, finding the a'lam. You know, today one of our responsibility is that we have to find a'lam of the time. Everybody in this world, even the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, has to search for the a'lam. But look at Prophet Musa, how he searched and how we searched. We did not pay any effort for that. We do not put any effort to find a'lam. But Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam started searching and searching and searching. As he reached up to the point where he was promised, I just like to make it short, that he met with the personality of Hazrat Khidr, one of the wali, one of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he met with Hazrat Khidr, Hazrat Khidr said to him, why you came before me? He said, I came before you that I would like to seek knowledge from you. How interesting is, brothers and sisters, that a prophet of Allah, Ulul Azm prophet of Allah, when he found that there is somebody who is more knowledgeable than him, he made himself as a student. He became humble before him. So that means, whenever you find somebody who has knowledge, you must think that if Musa can have that humbleness, we, as the people who are not knowledgeable, we have to be humble before somebody who is knowledgeable. He said, I would like to learn from you. But what was the answer of Hazrat Khidr? What was the answer of that? إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ sabra. You do not have that patience. It's really interesting that Prophet of Allah, Ulul Azm Prophet of Allah, does not have that patience to stay before a knowledgeable personality. So that means he was kind of insulting, no? He's saying, you don't have that capability. You don't have that capacity. You cannot stay with me. You cannot have that ability to learn. So today, just think that, for example, if I go to somebody, any marja, and I say that, I would like to be one of your students, and he says, go back. You don't have that capacity. How am I going to feel? What am I going to do? I will say, I came before you. How you think that I don't have capacity? What is your measurement? How you measured me? But again, Prophet Musa was really humble. Look at the great quality of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He never made argument. He just said that you will find me patient. Inshallah, I will try to be sabir. He said, okay, no problem. If you promise with me, so that means if you like to go before a teacher, then teacher has to take the commitment, and you have to give commitment to the teacher as well. There is a need of commitment. When you like to seek knowledge, there is a need of great commitment. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made this commitment that I would like to stay with you. Now they started going through the river on a boat. And when Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam came close, and at the end of the river, he wanted to leave the boat. He just made a hole. in the boat. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam started making the argument. He said that, what are you going to do that? Do you want to drown this boat into the river? You don't want it to be used? Hazrat Khizr, of course, he took the commitment, but when there is a student like Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made this argument, then again Hazrat Musa reminded him, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِعَ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. I told you before that you will not be able to stay with me. And Hazrat Musa, when he was reminded again, he shaked a little bit and he started thinking, yes, I made this commitment and you'll find me from the Sabirin. And the story goes along. There are three incidents while they go with each other, killing one of the young men, one of the children, and also making a vow. These are the incidents during the time when they were being with each other. It's good that if you read Surah Mubarakah Kahf, you will enjoy reading this story. It's good sometimes to go and review the Quran and stories of Quran, because in the cases and the stories of Quran there is a wisdom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that we have provided you the knowledge through these great stories. These are not just stories, but these are the stories of the wisdom. These are the stories which contains knowledge and lessons for us. And this is beauty of Quran. That Quran just not a book of history as Bible. It narrates the histories and stories which does not have any connection. But Quran has a beauty that while it speaks about a story, it gives the wisdom, it gives the lesson, it gives many rulings, many laws. It says about aqaid, it speaks about belief. That is the beauty of Quran. After three incidents, then Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam has said, Hada firaqum bayni wa bayna. Now we have to be separated. Enough is enough. You have messed a lot. If I say in my own language, I can say, you have messed a lot. Now you cannot be with me. I don't like to have this kind of spirit. You can see, brothers and sisters, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a great Ulul Azm prophet of his time, needed to have a tawassul, a wasila. He needed to have a wasila to have the knowledge at that time, because his capacity was limited in front of Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. And he had more capacity. The capacity of Hazrat Khidr was a wider capacity. That is why he came before him. And then again he failed being with that kind of personality. He could not be with that personality and could not continue his education from him. So that means, we as a human being, while we are living in this world, we are living with the limited capacities. With these limited capacities, we should find the wasail and the sources, those who can make us knowledgeable, those sources who can give us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those sources who can provide us favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how we will be able to be mu'min. So after Iman and Taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. You should seek towards Allah a wasila. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Now you have to prepare yourself for greater jihad. If you like to do jihad before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the important entity before the jihad is wasila. If you have tawassul in your life, then you can prepare yourself for jihad. Otherwise, if we do not have tawassul of Ahlul Bayt rahimahum salam, we cannot be successful. If we do not have tawassul with Prophet peace be upon him, we cannot be successful. For success in jihad, there are three elements. One is Iman. Second is Taqwa. Third is Wasila.
if somebody has these three important resources available, then it's been said, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Now you can go for jihad, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, jihad akbar, it's been said in the form of taqwa. آمَنُ اتَّقُ اللَّهِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says jihad, there is jihad asghar. That means fighting and striving against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, if we like to have jihad in our life, if we like to become mujahid, one of the important entity and element is tawassul. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلَحُونَ. That possibly you will be successful. So the possibility of the success, of course success is only for the people, those who are believer. Success is being reserved for the people, those who are believer. That is why when we like to come toward the prayer, and when we like calling the people toward the prayer, what we say? Hayya alal falah. Come towards success. That means call towards the prayer is also success. And call towards the tawassul and jihad is also call towards the falah and success. Every part of Islam, it takes us towards success. We are approaching towards our perfection. That is why when we look in Karbala, we can see there is a tawassul available for the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. They used to do tawassul towards Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Hazrat Hur. When he felt that he committed a crime, he made a mistake, he could sit down in his camp and he could ask Allah, that, oh Allah, can you forgive me? I have committed a crime. But what did he do? He came running towards Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He came close to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, asked a question, that, oh my master, O son of Prophet, can my mistake be forgiven? Is there any possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave my sins? I have committed a great crime. Oh brothers and sisters, look at the tradition of Hazrat Hur, that he made a tawassul. Same as Hazrat Hur, whenever you come to the majlis, to the session of Aza, you should think same. Our youth, our brothers and sisters, we committed lots of sins. But before you start coming toward the majlis, start thinking that, Ya Aba Abdullah, I am coming towards you. I have prepared myself that I would like to be in your majlis. It's like standing in the battlefield of Karbala. Is there any possibility that my sins can be forgiven? And Abu Abdullah al-Hussein said to Hur, that, oh Hur, your sins are already been forgiven. You know, before you come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person becomes shameful, when the person becomes embarrassed, that is the point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. That is the point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. When Imam said that your sins are already forgiven, that means when he became embarrassed, his sins were forgiven. It's not something what Imam has said from his own. That is the news what Imam has given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he knows that Allah becomes merciful. Before we say Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu ilayh, before we say A'adhanallah min shurur anfusina, before we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is merciful. He accepts us. He says, Ya Abdi, O my servant, whatever you like to ask at this time, I can see that you are feeling embarrassed. You don't like to commit the sin again. Oh, brothers and sisters, we had remembered yesterday and the day before about our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salam. Today again, let me remember few more tragedies of Sayyid Sajjad and complete my majalis with that. And I ask Allah, may Allah accept that before Him. Brothers and sisters, when Imam came into the court of Ibn Ziyad, as I said yesterday, that his eyes were bowed down. He could not raise his head. And first of all, Ibn Ziyad asked about Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha. I would like to say salam to Imam Zainul Abidin, that how he stayed patient over there, that one of the criminals of the world, like Ibn Ziyad, asked, who is that lady? You just imagine if there are your ladies standing with you, although we are not on that position where Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha stands, but if we are standing in the court of one of the criminals of the world and he just mentions, and the aunties of Imam Zainul Abidin are without hijab, they are standing in the court as a prisoner, and she was introduced, Zainab bint Amir al-Mu'mineen. Brothers and sisters, after having a few conversations with Hazrat Zainab, then he faced towards Ali ibn Hussein. He called him, he said, Man anta? Who are you? And Imam replied, Ana Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin. I am Ali ibn Hussein. And at that time, this la'een and the cursed person, he became angry. And with the anger, he said, Ali, Ali, Ali. All of them, they are Ali. And the Imam said that, oh, Ibn Ziyad, my father really liked the name Ali. He named my elder son Ali Akbar. He called me Ali Awsat. I had another brother, his name was Ali Aswar. And brothers and sisters, I have seen a tradition from our third Imam, Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, says, if I had 100 of my sons, I would have named all of them as Ali. That is how our Mawla liked his father. Then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not killed you in the battlefield of Karbala, O Ali. Imam says, there was another brother of mine, his name was Ali Akbar, he was killed by the people. When Imam alayhi salam responded like that, brothers and sisters, at that time he faced towards Sayyid Sajjad and he says that, do you have that jur'at and that courage that you can speak with me? Laka jur'atu? Is there a courage between you that you can speak with me? When he insulted Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he started speaking with Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam again replied and responded him. He asked from one of the soldiers, can you take the sword and kill Imam Sajjad? That soldier took the sword and he started coming towards Imam Sajjad. Here is the tragedy for Imam Sajjad, brothers and sisters. On the other hand, there was a lady standing, Hazrat Zainab Salamullah Alayha, the defender of the Imamat in the battlefield of Karbala, the defender of Imamat in the court of Ibn Ziyad. She rushed towards Imam Sajjad. She took Imam Sajjad in her lap and she said, oh Ibn Ziyad, if you like to kill if you like to kill Ali ibn al-Husayn, you have to kill me first. You can imagine that what kind of tragedy is for Imam Zainul Abidin when Hazrat Zainab is defending Imam Sajjad. Yes, these were all tragedies for Imam Sajjad. But one of the tragedies which Imam al-Islam had remembered in his life, you know, when Imam came after the prison of Syria, and Imam was always crying, he was weeping most of his life, and Minhal came to Imam al-Islam asking, Mawla, Ya Imam Zainul Abidin, Ya Ali ibn Hussein, you always weep and you always cry. Can you let us know that what was the greatest tragedy in all your travel, in all your journey, which one is the greatest tragedy? Imam al-Islam responded, he said, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham, Ash-Sham. Three times he said Ash-Sham. And Minhal said, what was the tragedy? You can remember all the time he said that my aunties and my sisters were running toward the streets, through the streets, and the people, they used to throw the stone. And the people, they used to look at my aunties and my sisters, and they were without hijab. Imam says, when I came and entered to the court of Yazid, he was having the wine and alcohol in his hands, and the people, they were sitting in the court of Yazid, everybody was watching the aunties, everybody was watching the sisters, and that was greatest tragedy in my life. Oh brothers and sisters, this Imam al-Sajjad came back to the Medina. But before he enters to the Medina, it is narrated he was sitting outside the Medina. Imam made a camp outside the Medina. He was sitting outside the camp. And on the other hand, Muhammad Harafiya came walking around, and he came to welcome the caravan. When he came close to the camp, he saw there is an old man sitting outside the camp. The old man bowing down his head, and he came asking, oh old man, can you introduce me to the Ali ibn al-Husayn? Is there anybody? My nephew Ali ibn al-Husayn was with caravan. Imam is there now with these. Raised his head. Imam said, oh my uncle, don't you remember me? I am Ali ibn al-Husayn. Just look at me. I came back from Syria. I came back from Sham. I came back from Kufa. I am old. I have gone through the tragedies of Karbala. Oh, Muhammad al-Anbiya. Oh, my uncle, just remember me. I am son of Hussain. Inna lillahi. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك على كل شيء قدير ماتم حسين